Now, last week we went to John chapter 16. And we found he's the spirit of truth, and he guides us into all truth. That means a number of things, but there's the truth about God, the truth about the devil, the truth about yourself, and the truth about your friends. And thank God for the Holy Ghost, who prevents us from stepping into doctrinal error, who helps us recognize that that's not what the Bible says, and helps us to see what the Bible does say, who teaches us the Word of God, who would help us in a business situation and say they're trying to deceive you and they're not telling you the truth, or would help you if your neighbor was dishonest with you. You would know that in the Spirit because he's our guide into truth. He wants us to stand in truth, not only in our words, in our deeds, in our actions, but to stand in the truth of the Word. And he said, I'm going to guide you. I'm going to see to it that you know and recognize and understand the truth, that you're not deceived, not by false prophets, false doctrine, or unusual acquaintances who don't always tell the truth. We had a gentleman who's a relative of a relative, and he came and he said, would Wayne do so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so? And he complimented Wayne's work highly, which was not hard to do because Wayne does great work. And I'm standing there listening to him going, when I had this nudging on the inside that reminded me this guy never tells the truth. I mean, I don't know if he just can't help it. He just doesn't tell the truth. He allows his flesh to guide him, and if a lie is seems better to him, he'd just tell a lie. And I began to back up. And I said, well, you'll have to check with Wayne. Perhaps he's not able to do that for you. Because I knew this is not true. This is not the truth. It is not the truth. You have a guide on the inside who wants to make sure that you hear the truth, know the truth, speak the truth, understand the truth, that you're not deceived by any man or beast. If beast lie, I don't know. Says he'll not speak of himself. He shall, whatever he hears, that shall he speak. That's a wonder. The other glorious truth is when the Holy Ghost deals with you, when he speaks to you, when he leads you in any way, then you know you've heard from the Father. He doesn't speak. He doesn't mean he doesn't speak about himself. It means he doesn't decide what to say. He's not teaching you himself, but he's hearing from the Father and from Jesus, the head of the church, and he's saying exactly what they want you to hear, what they know you need to hear. So if you've heard from the Holy Ghost, you've heard from God. An audience with the Holy Ghost is an audience with God. The Word of the Holy Ghost is the Word of God, and so that's a wonderful thing to know who you're talking to. When you're talking to the Holy Ghost, you're talking to God. Now, let's move on. We'll be back to those verses later, I think. But let's move on to Romans chapter 8 and talk again about the leadership of the Holy Ghost in you, in every believer. You know, sometimes we who are baptized in the Holy Ghost look upon those who aren't baptized in the Holy Ghost, who don't speak in tongues, as if they're inferior, as if they can't reach up to the standard that we've accumulated, that we've acquired. And that's just not true, because they can't. They do have the teacher. They do have the guide. They do have the Holy Ghost who speaks from heaven and speaks words of heaven. And sometimes they're sharper than we are, because pride cometh before a fall. We want to stay out of pride, and we can know God's in them, and he's working in them. And the God who guided me to the Holy Ghost from that denominational position will also guide them. Now here's a verse here for me, verse 14. We're talking about the work of the Holy Ghost in you for your benefit, because you need him. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. We read that verse over and over again, and then we talk about he'll lead you to buy a new car, lead you not to buy a new car, lead you to buy a new house, lead you not to buy a new house. All of those things are true, and yet that's not the impact of these verses. These verses are in a particular context, and the context is very, very important to our success in God. And I do believe God leads you to buy a car, and I do believe he teaches you to take a job or not take a job. I believe all of those things. But this verse is in a particular context. Now look back at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ. Condemnation is judgment. It's adverse sentence. It's guilty. There's no guilty. Why? Because Jesus paid the price for your sin. He took the guilt. He took the judgment. He took the condemnation. You're set free. So that if you've come to him, Holy Ghost is in you. You're God's child, and you're no longer guilty because your sins have been remitted and you're a new creature. But then it adds, who walk not after the flesh, after the Spirit. Now the entire context of being led by the Spirit in this chapter is to not walk in the flesh, not be ruled by the flesh, not be controlled by the flesh, but to be controlled by the Spirit, by your own spirit. Not everything is the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit in essence, but sometimes it's just your spirit, because your spirit and the Holy Spirit walk together, and your spirit begins to catch on to some things. So your spirit can speak to you just like the Holy Spirit can speak to you, and your spirit can speak accurately to you. Now, you walk with somebody for a long time, like Wayne and I have been married shortly 47 years. There are things that I know just by virtue of experience. Somebody says, what's Wayne's favorite color? And I said, he doesn't have a favorite color. He doesn't care what color it is. Short of hot pink, maybe, and a few wild colors. He doesn't have a favorite color. And there are a lot of things I would know just by virtue of experience. But if you asked me, do you know Kenneth Copeland? I said, yes, I know him. And you said, well, I want to send him a birthday present this year. The Lord's laid that on my heart. Do you know when his birthday is? I said, I don't know. He said, well, do you know his home address? Right now. I said, I don't know. He said, you know where his office is? I said, well, I could look it up for you, but I don't really know. I don't really know him. He said, well, you know, does he collect anything? I don't know. I don't know anything. I don't really know him. I know about him. We don't want to know about God. We want to know him. We want to have that intimate union with Almighty God by the Spirit. He's our connection to God. He's the one who brings us the word of heaven and who teaches us and guides us and helps us to remember. And we want to know not just about God, but we want to know him so intimately that we know in any situation what God would be saying and what would be the leadership of the Lord. And we rest on the Spirit to teach us and to help us.